Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday afternoon here in Danger Studios. I'm joined with my good friend and fellow comedian, Cyril Dobrik.
Hello, everyone. It's getting wild.
That's right. And we are also on Facebook Live on my channel, DougieAlmeida.com on Facebook. Go to that, and you can, you know, well, it's too late. You know, if you're hearing this and you never do it Facebook Live, you're like, what's he talking about that happened?
You're ready.
You know, but you could be my friend. I got to figure out a way to do it through the Wake Up Late with Dougie show fan page, right? But it's like they do it differently there.
Well, we just got to post it out first.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show. Interesting weekend. I don't know about you. I didn't do any comedy on St. Patrick's Day weekend. I spent time with friends and family and my wife.
Nice. Finally, right?
Yeah. You know, I felt like a regular guy.
Usually people don't remember that day of the year. Usually.
You know, St. Patrick's Day is the day where I celebrate the annual tradition of realizing I don't have a green shirt.
Well,
you have a green shirt?
I do, because I'm a bartender, so.
All right, you gotta.
Yeah, I had to be all dressed out. I almost leprechauned it this year.
Right? What do you mean?
Buckle shoes.
Oh, really?
Knickers? Is that what they call
you
them?
You're going to wear the tight
knickers?
Thing? Look like Robin Hood running around?
Men in tights.
What's up, everybody?
You wear tights?
Yeah, I don't think I'd do that, you know. It's like, thank God you still don't see, you know, the last time I saw, I worked out at Bally's. Now I've been on LA Fitness for years, right? But at Bally's, Bally's was like a Bally's. I go work out at Bally's.
Out the roulette wheel at Bally's.
That's every time I think of Bally's, you know what I mean?
Bally's
put it on red. Put it on red.
I think actually I still owe Bally's from when I lived out.
You owe a casino debt and you're still walking?
No, not the casino, the fitness guru. Bally.
I don't know if I'd give him the guru label.
No, he's from Bally, B-L-I.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm just talking about the gym. Peter Kramer, I'm not Irish. Are you Irish?
No.
No, you're
Croatian.
Croatian. Yeah, with the checkered flag, right? The red checkered flag?
Yeah.
Yeah, every soccer team and stuff, they have a uniform with the fucking red checkers on it. You know what I mean? Can we go away from the checkers?
Never.
Is it necessary, right, for the Croatian teams to put the fucking checkers all over the place?
If you don't put them there, no one's going to know what country to vote for.
I think it's Russia or Ukraine. Who are they?
They look all right. They look like.
Anyway, well, you're from Croatia, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got that right?
I'm
not
from New York. But
yeah,
but
the family, the bloodline. You know, I'm the family
crest with that little warrior.
Yeah.
And the feather.
I picture your family crest is going to be like this guy with the fucking eyes doodling and shit looking into the window. But St. Patrick's Day, went down to the Dubliner, had a big table there. There's a table there that said Page. You know, they had the name taped onto the table.
Right.
Page, which I thought, well, it sounds like Almeida.
So you sat at Page's table?
Yeah, we sat there and people were coming up. Just me and my wife. There's a table of like eight. And people are coming up, and they're like, is this seat taken? Yep, they're all taken. We're waiting, you know, because we were expecting some people. And they didn't show up for about an hour.
But did the page people come?
No. They were unpaged. They were, the page must have been torn from the book.
Does anybody know if the pages are still around?
Listen, if they're missing, I have nothing to do with it. I just sat there. I took the opportunity to sit at the page table.
Irish car bombs gives a new meaning.
You never know. So the wife and I stood there. So we all hung out. And I hadn't drank. I had gone 5 weeks.
Did you drink?
Well, yeah, I drank. I had some beers. I did. You know, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Right, right.
It's not like I have a drinking problem.
Well, you passed it, so your problem really with drinking was out.
Yeah, you know, I'd gone a few extra weeks.
Yeah,
and you know, but I figured one day. It's like if you're on a diet, you have a cheat day. You know, any good diet should have a cheat day.
Of course.
You know, where you go and eat a cheesesteak.
Usually 4 out of 7. So
everybody on our Facebook audience, what's your favorite cheat day item? I remember this day, my stepdaughter, you know, I used to, on cheat days, I used to drive by this place and they used to make the best Philly cheesesteak. Mm. You know what I mean? And they it was just perfect, long and the perfect roll, you know, that soft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter never used to eat that, you know, she's like, oh, I used to bring it. She's like, oh yeah, hell yeah. Right. And eat them. And, so that was my cheat day, the big cheesesteak. What was your guys' cheat day? What did you eat?
Me like personally, yeah. my thing is Char Hut. So
Char Hut.
Yeah. God.
What the Char Hut?
Yeah, that's the best hamburgers in the world, I believe.
Listen, I recently for the first time I may mention so they I recently ate at Jack in the Box, which I've never eaten, and that's a pretty stellar hamburger.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I like the Jack in the Box. Yeah, it had the buttery.
That's fast food. This is more like half fast, half. Gourmet, yeah,
cooked,
grilled.
properly cooked
sandwiches, which is what you kind of need for a restaurant these days. Properly cooked.
Yeah. Hey, do I have to really cook the whole thing?
Come on. We're here about speed. Come on, yeah, come on.
So, you know, the cheat day. So I took it as a cheat day. I drank, you know, I had a few beers and, you know, I did. And again, the same thing. I didn't get that buzz. My wife thought I was going to get wasted, you know, and I'm like, ah, you know, you feel all right, you know?
Right,
and that was it, and then although the next night we celebrated with a glass of wine, that was Friday, so Saturday we, you know, we hung
up the ladder.
I just had glass. Well, we had a half a bottle. Well, I had a half a bottle. I mean, she had the other half. Actually, I probably had a little more. You know, when the wife drinks slower, and it's time to pour another glass. Hey, if it's time to pour another glass, and you're still full. No one's telling. You know, I can lead the horse to water. I'm not calling my wife a horse.
Etiquette. It's right. Only proper etiquette.
You know, I'm just saying. You know, I'm pouring your glass. I can't drink it for you. If you're not going to drink your wine, and you know, if I'm not going to sit here with an empty wine glass waiting for you to fill your wine glass.
I'm going to baby you with the wine.
Right. You know what do you want me to do? Fan you at the same time while you wait and think if you want to drink the rest of your wine.
Shit! I forgot the grapes.
Mike Sweeney says, my wife says sausage smothered in underwear. You know, I don't know if that.
Does that apply?
Is that. I didn't know that was part of the cat. The category was cheat, you know, eating cheat day. So.
He incorporated all the.
I think, yeah.
He did, actually.
Like, so. I'm not going to do laundry. I'm just going to throw a sausage in there. But thanks for your contribution, Mike. That was real
eight
helpful.
Ball says yes.
It does?
Yes. All right. That's correct.
The show goes on based on the eight ball, everybody.
Sweeney might be correct.
So I, you know, I got it, and I, no missing it, and, you know, and you may have noticed when you came to the studio today, my wife and daughter were sitting there drinking a bottle of red wine.
Yeah, they were hiding it, but they were drinking it.
Yeah, like they weren't like going to sit there and go, hey everybody, right. Look at me, I'm drinking.
No, but they were, you know, classy eyed, you know.
Yeah.
They fit the profile.
Right. So.
You have so tile, I, they weren't walking
and, I,
on it.
And it's during the week. I don't have any interest in drinking. The, you know, the test again will be tomorrow when I go to Tavolino's. Which, by the way, great show.
Host a show.
Yeah. We're going to have a packed show. Now, this is the thing. And if our headliner is listening, Grant Lyon, real excited. The first time we have Grant at Tavolino's.
Great.
Now, I have our, I'm the host. I have our guest spot, Jen Hellman, who was here with you last week.
She's nice.
Yeah? Nice?
Yeah, she has a great comedic outlook.
Yeah, she's cool. Shit. So she's going to do a guest spot. Then here's the thing. My buddy is traveling through town. Brian Golowacki out of the Rhode Island, Boston area, Massachusetts.
Does he make hosts say that old name every time?
Yeah, I hope not. I hope I get it brushed up
like
by that.
I like it, but I'm just
Brian Golowacki. And he's touring with a guy, you know, they were at the Tampa Improv, did some shows, and I said, well, we're gonna come by and do a spot. You know, now I'm thinking, fuck, I got three guest spots. You know, I open my mouth, I want to be, but we can make that into a good show. Sure. Three guest spots, do 5 minutes each. Boom, boom, boom.
If it's,
I don't, you know, I go up. I don't. I'm not gonna sit there and do a 10 minute host spot. I'm gonna go up and just have a little fun. Go, hey guys, we got a packed show tonight. Let me get the, you know.
You can even shotgun those spots. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
They introduce themselves, something like that. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, why not?
You introduce the next comic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna.
And then you introduce the next trip part.
Yeah. So it's gonna work one way or the other, and I'm excited to have that many people. By the way, an update on the World Series of Comedy satellite that we're to be hosting at the at Tavolino's on May 24th. We don't have what I would call a good showing.
A full roster,
right? I don't, you know what I mean? I don't. It's not like we have like, oh, I won't, you know, there's an overabundance, and I'm going, shit, I got to review all these videos. you know what I mean? So I may just kibosh, you know, World Series of Comedy satellite, because well, listen, you know, I'm gonna put it out there. I'm not gonna run down everybody's neck and keep sending shit out and bugging people to come sign up for this thing, you know, for me to make a couple $100 one way or the other.
Of course not.
You know what I mean? I mean, listen,
you put it out there
and Tavolino's want Steve Marshall back, so that's a date that they're like, listen, the, you know, move on, let's move on the schedule. So you know, that's the way that goes.
Perfect villain.
Yeah, you're right. So that was it. So that was St. Patrick's Day. Got to spend some time with family. Now, by the way, next week we're going to have a guest in the studio. One of your acquaintances, one of your... Yeah. Sir, I think I've met this gentleman out there.
Local comics, Rob Smiles, probably is going to be here in the studio.
Now, you know, you run a Monday night room...
I do, every Monday night, 10 o'clock.
Out there in Hallandale, Pembroke Road area, right outside the Mardi Gras Casino, outside a bowling alley.
Outside of a bowling alley on the outside premises of a casino.
Now, let me ask you the first question that comes to mind when you say you do, yeah, where you do it. Like, if I drive down Pembroke Road, I can see it going on.
Yes.
I'll be able to see people.
We are outside, we are live.
All right. All right. Now things are cool. It's in the 70s, and it's nice and cool and everything. But here's my question: I can't, like, if you say, Dougie, like, come on and hang out, and it's like July,
right?
You know, and you say, hey, we're going to go out there and do there. I mean, what are you going to do?
We go further in the parking lot and we do it shirtless.
And that's
basically. I mean, yeah. I mean,
we're going to go out there and put a stage where they can hose people down. You go out
we'll
there
put those
just fucking jockeys
on the outside.
That's what you should do, dude. Everybody just go out there in their fucking underwear, and then when they're done, they get squirted down
and
go get a beer.
And no electric waterproofing at all.
Yeah, you got to have one of those old microphones you can use in the shower. Yes.
God, that guy was alive.
Right. He was lit. So you had a show. Now, Rob Smiles.
Rob Smiles is a weekly attender of this open mic.
He's a follower. He's kind of like a follower of your of the Ciro.
The Comedy Detour Experience.
Comedy Detour, right? Experience.
Yeah. So
love,
I mean,
the name,
he comes
by
out.
The way.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
And it's actually sometimes takes a detour from comedy.
Yeah, it seems to the other night.
You know, some people don't have the thickest skin to get on stage, and some people believe that when. You know, when you have that microphone, you have total control. You do, but you also lose that control when you put the microphone down and walk off stage. You have no more control. That's your set. That's your thing.
Right.
You know, if you want to go back up, you should probably ask the host, hey,
yeah.
I think I got more
you don't go
in
back.
Me. You don't try to take the mic away from another comic. You don't try to attack the audience members.
Well,
you
that's
don't.
Not a good one either.
And actually, you know, hey. I got to give you a credit. You threaten a comic. What do you think a comic's going to say?
All right, now listen. We can do this in two ways. We can go ahead and like tease everybody. Like, well, we're going to hear about this, but I don't know if they're going to stick around until next week on the story. But the idea is like let's tell as much of the story from your perspective, and you were there.
Right.
I'm going to imagine from Rob's perspective.
Robbie's perspective was completely on the other side of a chair. So it's I'm on one side of a chair. He's on the other side of a chair.
Wow. All right.
So maybe like next week we'll tell you more
so
about
you mean
the
like
chairs.
Like chair like WWE?
Absolutely. It
right?
was a tables, ladders, and chairs wow. match. The belt was hanging up on the, you know, the,
right.
the rafters there.
Wow. So, all right. So first of all, you mentioned.
It would be called a melee.
Really? Yes. Now, now here's the thing. I couldn't imagine a lot of other comics. Like, now here's the question. I guess we're saying everybody to everybody in our audience that at the Comedy Detour show,
pretty intense.
There was one comic, a local comic, we won't mention his name yet,
right?
That went up, ate a dick,
ate two dicks,
right? And he's used to that. You know what I mean? They call him the missus. He's done it so often that he gets so he gets a little mad. He doesn't do well.
But, you know,
was he confrontational to you when you said, okay, thanks for coming, and you know?
He was not confrontational to me, right, until he tried to take the mic back and get back on stage without going through the host of the show.
So now the next comic, which is our guest next week, Rob.
Actually, he was actually just standing in the audience at the time.
Okay.
He wasn't even.
I got you. But some other comic.
Soon.
Another comic goes on stage.
Another comic's on stage. He's brand new. He's trying his stuff. Blah blah blah.
Right. He's dealing with the elements, the traffic on Pembroke Road.
The train,
every once in a
while.
There's
a spotlight helicopter that comes by looking for people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things. What my room does is give you the courage to get up with everything in the world going on. There's ambulances. There's people screaming on bikes.
Right.
I mean,
that's an interesting section of the county, yeah, right there in the north. That's the south, the north, the south, north. What the hell am I trying to say? Northeast corner of Dade County.
Oh, yeah. It's right on the...
It's the border of Broward County. It's the county line.
It's the county line road.
Everything happens
friend.
On the county line. That'd be a good name, the County Line Comedy Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. County Line Comedy. All right. So another comic goes on stage, starts doing his own thing, you know, and out of nowhere, the guy...
The guy gets back up there, tries to take the mic back, won't get off stage after I ask him to not go back up on stage. Then he starts to...
So does he go back on stage?
No.
He doesn't make it to the stage.
Completely,
Now, did you keep him from the stage?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the one? You're the deterrent?
Of course.
Right?
Of course. All
right.
You know what I mean? But, so I'm kind of trying to keep it chill. He goes off into some hot zone because it was... Like nobody. In
now
the
he's
whole
really
place.
Embarrassed. Now he's really like, I sucked on stage, and now I'm the real, I'm the dick of the room.
It just seemed more than, you know, it was like a bad day on top of sucking.
Now, how
on
are
stage.
Other people, by the way, as a peripheral type view of the situation? How are the other people, other comics that were there? How are they taking this all in at the time? Were they standing up on guard? Were they?
No, yeah. they were pretty much laughing at him.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Trying.
So it
to,
became a free for all, like in a
pretty much. Well, it happens quicker than you can.
Yeah, it's true.
You
right?
can see it happening. Like even if you know it's about to happen, you can't stop it from happening.
So, as you said, melee.
It was melee. It was, you know when they have battle royale.
Yeah,
that's.
I'm not a big wrestling fan, but yeah, I know what you mean by battle royale. I used to love those wrestling matches where it was like 40 dudes in the ring. And then get thrown over the third rope. You're out. You know, it's the last guy in the ring kind of thing.
That was basically what was going to happen.
Yeah, it looked like, you know. Now, did each party have their own group of people? Like, did it turn into, like, X-Men versus Avengers? Was there a...
It was pretty much this guy
against
who's
everybody?
Lex Luthor, you know, and he's really pissed off at the world and everything that, you know, could go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and he just had a hot head.
Yeah.
And... You know what I'm saying is don't say, hey, do you want me to do this to a group of comics with nothing else to lose? And they're like, fuck yeah, I want you to throw a chair at me. What do you think's going to happen to you?
Yeah, so he threw the chair.
So things, you know, I don't know if he threw a chair or if a chair was just
lofted
somehow
a chair.
Ghostly.
Like it lifted off its own.
Was there
a guru there? Was there a Bally guru?
That's funny.
The Bally guru was there going,
hit
you with the chair.
But it was quick, so.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it next week.
We'll have him in and hear the whole story. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Ciro Dobrik.
Hey.
And we're also live on Facebook at Dougie Almeida. Be a friend of mine. Just don't be a hot chick with like no postings.
Come watch us talk.
Yeah. Don't be like a hot chick with three names and you just happen to be in the same city I live. Can't be anything like that. But we'll be back with segment two right after this.
Hey, it's Peter Leonard. You can join me every Wednesday morning as I co-host on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Ciro's sitting next to me.
Hey there.
Well, not really next to me, but
well,
across from me at the Danger Studios.
I'm with you.
You with me.
You know, like, yeah. I'm not saying, like, I know you. I'm like, I work for the FBI. I'm with you.
Yeah, we met in Quantico.
Remember that?
Something like that.
My Blue Heaven.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's segment two, oddly enough. It usually follows our opening show, or the opening of the show. And Sarah's with me. Tomorrow, Elgin, David, and Peter Leonard will be here. You know, the guy who looks like he's got 70s hair. Now, did you see the new artwork for the show that you can go on? By the way, you can go to our fan page on Facebook, at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, at Twitter, at Wake Up Dougie. You know, you didn't see the whole image?
With my white beater picture. It's the best one ever. It's funny. I did that for a Thanksgiving. Like, we did, like, a video shoot. That was the first time I came up with my PGA joke.
Right.
Where I'd come out to the middle of, like, a anonymous type meeting, where the PGA, Pussy Grabbers Anonymous, and I'm not only the president of the Pussy Grabbers, wearing the wife beater and the hair out and everything.
Now, I will say, based on choice, I'll tell you what was on the top of my list when I chose it. I went to your Facebook.
Right.
It's not like you have a lot of headshots.
No.
All right. It's not like I can go there and pick from, here's his profile, here's one with a mic, here's one with him doing something stupid. It was basically me searching through photos. And that was one of the best quality, which I thought would actually...
That was a good...
You know what I mean?
It was a good image. I like to portray that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it depicted a bit of,
It adds mystery.
Who, like, you are.
Does he dress like that?
Yeah,
what's going on?
In your eyes, you look like you just did some flaca.
I love flaca.
You know what I mean?
Flaca.
Exactly. Flaca. Well, segment two here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show consists of... stories that are, I would say, just mainstream or off mainstream. These are stories that, let me tell you, they probably suck on a real slow day. You know, we had Comey, the FBI guy.
What did he lie about today on the road?
There's no evidence of any wiretapping.
None.
And all this stuff. Listen, when the whole thing about we know who they are. They're adversaries.
Right.
That was one of the things they said today in the meeting. They are adversary. Like, Russia is an adversary. Much like you would consider Iran is an adversary, who we gave him, about $800 million in cash on a plane?
I believe it was cash.
Right. Yeah, we want cash. I don't know what happened there, but who am I to judge? Listen, I'm a financial planner comedian / podcast guy, and those in that order when it comes to actually level of importance. That's who
I
am.
I've counted to 800,000 once.
Yes. I have too. It's a very boring experience. If you sit and you count to 800,000, it doesn't matter what you're counting. You can be counting sheep. But when you actually do it, once you accomplish this, you can actually look to a fellow person that has done this and say, guess what? I've also sat and counted to 800,000.
Yeah,
it's an achievement. I don't know if I'd call it a fraternity.
I don't know if you want to tell most people about that.
I'm not gonna. It's like the Illuminati. I don't want to tell you about.
It's so secret.
Bahamian Grove. Yeah, we can't. Talk about those meetings.
Don't trust the owl.
Here's a mystery solved. FBI says NFL recovers the Tom Brady missing Super Bowl jersey. And they found it in Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
It had some salsa stains on it and some queso dip.
Where was the Super Bowl played?
The Super Bowl was played in Dallas? Houston. Yeah, Houston.
So, yeah.
If I remember correctly.
It went to Mexico. Where else would
it? Right over the border, man. If the wall was built, Tom Brady would not have had to deal with this.
Wouldn't even be news. Be a totally different outcome.
There remain two pervasive mysteries surrounding Super Bowl whatever.
Super Bowl Hooplehead.
L1. I think that's 51. Super Bowl and New England Patriots triumphant victory. One, of course, is how the hell the Atlanta Falcons could blow it, and they did. Fucking choked.
Big time.
Right.
28.
Losing. Here's the thing. Losing isn't a bad thing. right? At no. times, losing isn't a bad thing. If it, in fact, if you lost, I mean, if you got there and you were just superior to the other team, but when you could have won it and you just, you don't finish.
Well, you know, I don't like the whole kneeling down at the end of the game where you can waste a minute and a half.
Right.
Okay? Play it all the way through.
Carry on.
However, I think, you know, if you're winning 28-3 for three quarters, maybe you can do some things where you just waste time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like turn to the crowd and the cheers and do a cheer. Or you know, do something to
you know,
where,
it's like, hey, hey, number eight, fall to the ground and act like your toe hurts.
You can't right. end the game on a defensive penalty, I think, is one of the rules. Well, right. fuck it. Do some offensive penalties.
Yeah, that was weird. really the second, this... of course, is who stole Tom Brady's jersey?
El Chapo.
That's right. yeah, that'd be
easy.
That'd be a funny meme if somebody easy. Digs like a him coming out of the ground
with his jersey coming, or wearing it. Yeah, wearing it.
And then coming back out like walking through the dirty tunnels. I got some sheet on it, but I got Tom Brady's jersey,
this
man.
Is the Super Bowl jersey.
I got the Super Bowl jersey. Fuck you. Yeah. Actually, he's in jail, so I don't think that'll count.
He's in New York, right?
yeah, the NFL released a statement shortly after 9 a.m. saying through the cooperation of the NFL and New England Patriots security teams, the FBI, and other law enforcement authorities, the Super Bowl jersey won last month by MVP Tom Brady has been recovered. Also retrieved during the ongoing investigation was the jersey Brady wore in the Patriots' victory in the Super Bowl XLIX against Seattle back in 2015.
Wait,
boy, they had a group of them.
Withholding jersey information from yeah. the American
How
public?
How come we didn't find out?
There were two jerseys
There was
missing?
A jersey that was stolen before, but we didn't find out about it.
They definitely didn't go to the moon. This is...
Yeah.
This is lying.
It is.
Left and right.
Any rate. So, I'm glad Tom got his fucking jersey back.
Was the guy's name Hector?
No, his name is Pablo. It's Pablo. The fattest man alive. He weighs 1,438 pounds.
Is he going to do this?
I'm sorry, he was stuck in the crack of my ass. I didn't know he was there.
I sat down. It disappeared.
My friend walked in, said, you mind? I said, I'm not going anywhere. And he had something in his hand. He put it over there, and I, okay, you know, fine. I'm not going to get up and look at it. I'm just going to sit here and eat the Cheetos. That's right. And 14 pizzas. Two tacos. Four burritos.
Jalapeno on a stick.
A tostada.
That's a really good
An extra large pizza.
Jeff Dunham still has jalapeno on a stick, which yeah, makes me laugh.
It's great.
I mean, you can...
When you have the talent that guy is all creating all those people, putting voices to it and make them interesting... some people say, you know, it's a puppet thing, but I think it's, hey, he, yeah, if I'm Jeff Dunham right now, I don't give a fuck what anybody's
what?
Saying to me.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to do.
Here's some interesting news I think my co-host Ciro will appreciate. Almost half of Canadians, that's what it says here,
Canadians?
Want illegal border crossers deported. Reuters.
Oh, those racists.
This is on Reuters. And they're not too happy about the way... is handling it, you know, Mr. fucking, you know, Trudeau. The Tom Cruise over Canada.
Trudeau is that?
Yeah,
the
they're all the Canada's all the women are going nuts about this guy. Oh, he's so handsome and he speaks so well.
Yeah, he's messing shit up.
That's right. So will the Antichrist.
He will come and he will seduce our women.
He will make the women touch themselves.
So would you say that we have a plethora of immigration problems?
Right. In Winnipeg, nearly half of Canadians want to deport people who are illegally crossing into Canada.
Forget the Americans!
I can't do a Canadian thing.
Well, you gotta
I'm still on this, yeah.
You have to have a half-face, yeah. like South Park. That's Canadian.
And a similar number disapprove of how Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is handling the influx.
Well, I don't know... what those bigots are doing. I mean, why would they even... I mean, who says they can have a law against their immigration borders?
Significant minority, 4 out of 10 respondents said the border crossers could make Canada less safe, underlying the potential political risks for Trudeau's Liberal government.
Where's the 5th province judge blocking that?
That's right.
Well, I don't understand.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Those fucking judges. the increasing flow of hundreds of asylum seekers.
We have a federal appellation. Oh, no, that's not Canadian. Anyway,
yeah,
come this up. Guy from Saskatchewan says that you can't do that with the refugees or the immigrants passing.
We need a taco stand in Alberta.
Well, listen, all the Somalian families that were going to go to Hawaii in the first place should go to Hawaii anyway. Go. Go, all of them. All Somalians to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Paging Mr. Somalian. Mr. Somalian.
Yeah. I saw it. There was a, you know, it's always a positive side. They had these guys that were coming from Syria that live there now.
Right.
There's like a very wealthy Canadian entrepreneur. There's a story about him, and now he sponsors people, sets them up in his company. He gets them to work, you know, gets them work and everything, gets them houses and shit. You know what I mean? You know, and he puts a little sign there, no Sharia law, fucker. Right. Although there has been a broad bipartisan support for high levels.
First time the slang for Hawaiians that say they're non-natives.
Yeah.
It's the first time they can call someone a howley and it'll actually be a howley person.
It will be. where was I? Although there had been a broad bipartisan support of high levels of legal immigration for decades in Canada, Trudeau is under pressure over the flow of a few's fine, not that many. Slow it down. Right? I mean, that's a thing, right?
Now, one.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Big.
Hey.
Big ado. Hey, big ado. Big ado. Yeah, well, slow down. Hey, what do you think this is? It Italy? Why am I Italian all of a sudden?
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, man. You want to be nice and shit, but look at Germany now. Big thing about, you know,
did
Trump.
Did you see her face when he mentioned that there could be people that were not good people?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we don't have no problem. What? Another semi is driving through the marketplace? Yeah.
What about on
what
that
up,
day?
Joe?
The
what
Paris
up, Joe
flag?
Adams? What up, Casey Peruski, by the way, joining us on Facebook
hey,
Live.
Hey, Casey.
Canadians appear to be just as concerned about illegal immigration as American. According to the poll, which was conducted between March 8th and 9th. Boy, that's not a very long poll.
They got everybody in that one?
Yeah. We got four people on it. We left 14,000 voicemails.
Four people were polled, and 75% of all Canadians.
Yeah. What? Yeah, we left 14,000 voicemails, and we reached four people.
All of them said Hillary Clinton should be president.
Yeah. From March 8th to 9th, some 48% supported increasing deportation of people living in Canada illegally.
No.
When asked specifically about the recent border crossings, the same number, 48%, said Canada should send these migrants back to the U.S. Go back to that shithole you call the U.S. Wouldn't it be funny if Canada starts building a wall? You know what I mean? It'll look like the wall in Game of Thrones. It'll be like the fucking wall, like a big ice wall.
What if that's Trump's plan?
Right.
Like he's like, we need a wall around the entire fucking place.
We're gonna build a wall so big we could play racquetball against our neighbors.
Why don't we get the Mexicans mad at the Canadians, and then they'll both build walls around us, and I win.
Yeah, you're like the neighbor with that little part of the adjoining backyard.
I'm pretty sure he's gonna put a dome over America.
Listen, everybody's hypocritical on this whole thing. And again, the only, when it comes to the wall discussion, whether it works or not, whether it keeps people out. You know, like I've heard people say, you know, it's not like Mexico has the greatest pole vaulting team in the world where we got to worry about the wall as opposed to tunnel diggers.
No.
You know
no.
what I mean? Let's see what happens. Now, I like when people get caught, like there's people open their mouth too much. You know what I mean? Right. You know what I mean? There's people that can back it up. Right.
Yeah.
What's the expression?
I'm not sure yet, but we're going to come up with it now.
Walk tall, carry a big stick. You know, back it up. You know,
if you talk shit, but most people that can back it up don't talk shit.
Right, that's true. But you know, for the most part, you know what I mean?
But
most people say, dude, I'll do whatever the fuck. You know, I'm not scared of nothing. You know what I mean? I'll do whatever. Crocodile attacks Aussie teen who jumped into river on a dare.
Oh.
Listen, I'll bet you won't jump into that fucking
mate,
creek over there.
Mate, shh. What are those bubbles?
Yes.
I just farted.
Ignore that grunting farted. Sound. Yes. That's just my stomach.
No, those aren't teeth. Those aren't teeth. Those are rocks.
I just ate at the Outback and had a blooming onion.
And my
throw
ass
your boomerang at it. Throw your boomerang at it.
In Brisbane, Australia, an Australian teen who was attacked by a crocodile after jumping into a crocodile-infested river on a dare was recovering from serious wounds to his arm, officials said on Monday. As authorities recovered the body of another man who also may have been attacked by a crocodile in nearby waters.
What?
This is just pulling bodies out of there.
The fuck?
There's a serial
are people swimming in this lake for?
There's a serial killer over there in Australia. He's like, I bet you won't jump into that creek over there. I'll bet you won't. Okay, jumped in. He's dead.
All right. So we know we have commercials for overground pools, right?
Right.
Here in America. We didn't sell any to Australia?
No, obviously none.
No?
Lee DePaul, an 18-year-old from Queensland, state was at a hostel in the northern Queensland town of Innisfail around 2:30 a.m. on Sunday when he started bragging that he could swim in the river, a known habitat for aggressive saltwater. Oh, they are mean, them saltwater crocodiles. I mean, if you got to live in saltwater, imagine. And said Sophie Patterson, a British backpacker who was at the hostel. First of all, listen, I used to hunt snakes when I was a kid. And we used to go on the canals and shit. Mm-hmm. And there's one time when the alligators and crocs, they're hungry. It's like in the morning, like 4 a.m, you know, they go around when things are sleeping right. And they basically eat shit.
Right.
Okay. And then by the time the morning comes and the sun comes up, they're out basking, you know, just eating some stupid teenager, you know, who thought he was cool by jumping. So, you know what I mean? So if anything, you wait till later in the day to go take that. I'll walk through that creek. I'll walk across that canal. Because I knew the alligators are done eating. It's
like that old cartoon where you're walking on the top of the rocks and it happens to be an alligator's head.
She and several others egged him on, though none of them thought he'd actually get in the water. We didn't think he was that fucking stupid.
Yep.
It all happened very fast. Pretty much as soon as he jumped in, there was splashing and screaming. Patterson told the news. There was blood everywhere. Or maybe that was all the ketchup he had from eating his fries.
So stupid.
And he's just wouldn't stop screaming. Boy, she's complaining. He just won't stop screaming.
That's a lack of TV.
Yeah.
There's no way if you watch that TV series Crocland.
Right. You would have been a little familiar.
You would not have jumped in the water. Mm. They bite each other's bottom jaws off. What do you think they're going to do to us?
Yeah. Now, I don't think they should euthanize the poor alligator. Not his fault. He's, you know, how do you know the alligator was just sitting there like chilling? It's like 2:30 in the morning.
Well, first of all, it's a crocodile.
It's a crocodile.
And they're above the law.
Right. So he's like the Steven Seagal.
They're the Steven Seagal.
Yeah. Of the
reptiles.
The reptile land. Yeah. They shouldn't euthanize it. They should, you know, they should put him in like a show. You know what I mean? All right.
Weekly show of killing teenagers that are super uptight.
Hey, why not? I'm just saying. What the hell?
Thin the herd is what we're trying to.
And the last thing I thought would be interesting to share with you here on segment two, something you really should know, is that what do you think the world's happiest place is?
Hmm. Right now or like,
like
consistently?
Pretty much.
I'm going to go ahead and say Colorado.
Colorado. Yeah, I get you on that. Okay, I understand. But Norway unseats Denmark as the world's happiest country.
Oh.
Found out a lot about Norway. You know, Norway, the reason they're so happy there is because there's such subsidies on their oil and everything that's developed, you know, they mine in that country,
right.
That the citizens that there, their benefits, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you hit the lot, like, they get money, they don't have to pay for shit, in other words, just from the wealth of the country and how little it's expanded, you know, through the citizens of Norway. So, you know, if you want, it doesn't mean you can go, hey, I'm going to go over to Norway and be a citizen. Hey, I want to be a fucking part of this. No, you can't just do that.
That's crazy.
Right? Norway say, get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
You know, go take your fucking strudel. I know that's German.
Well,
New York, Reuters Street. Norway displaced Denmark as the world's happiest country in a new report released on Monday that called on nations to build social trust, equality to improve the well-being of their citizens. But just stay the fuck out of our place.
They have a bunch of fjord plants.
The Nordic nations are the most content, according to the world's happiness report, produced by Sustainable Development Solutions Network, called SDSN, Global Initiative. I'm sure somebody's making money on that deal. Countries in sub-Saharan Africa, along with Syria and Yemen, are the least happy. Yeah, I would imagine. Aleppo. What's that, Gary Johnson? Aleppo. I guess in Aleppo, I think that would be... So you have Norway, right? Bad, chocolate, yeah. Hot blondes, fucking cold weather. You don't have to worry about sweating in Norway. And then you have Syria. And somewhere in between, you have Coral Springs, Florida.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I can't imagine much happiness in Syria or Yemen.
None. I couldn't. Even if they had good chocolate, that wouldn't be enough to make a difference. No.
But they do have those good body creams.
Yeah.
Because of the Red Sea or the Dead Sea or whatever.
Oh, the salt. Yeah.
So their skin is great. Olivey.
Germany was ranked 16, followed by the United Kingdom at number 19. And France at 31. The United States dropped one spot to 14.
Stupid.
At least we're in the top quartile, I would think. So
the French? Well.
Anyway, so pack your bags. We're all heading to Norway, everybody. That's right. We're going to start broadcasting the show from Norway.
Was Tiger Woods' wife Norwegian?
She may have been. Scandinavian country.
I think she was. So don't play golf and don't cheat on them.
Yeah, and don't drive a white Escalade. No. Was it a white Escalade?
Mercedes or something.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Cyril Dobrik.
Hello.
And we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines. I've got a few stories that will probably make you laugh right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And people are always asking me, where can I see you do stand-up? March 23rd to the 25th, you can catch me at Zany's in St. Charles, Illinois. April 7th and 8th, I'll be at the Comedy Zone in Greenville, South Carolina. April 16th, I'll be at the Funky Buddha, celebrating my 50th birthday party. Two shows, comedy show at first, second show will be a roast. That should be fun. April 20th through 23rd, I'll be at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. May 3rd through 6th, you can catch me at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 20th, I'll be at Jackie Knight's Comedy Club in St. Augustine. May 31st, at the Mississippi Moon Bar in Dubuque, Iowa. And, of course, June 1st and 3rd, I'll be at Penguins in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Come out and say hi, share a beer, talk, whatever you want to do. But we'll see you out there on the road. Take care.
Hey, this is Bob Gullo with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world to make fun of it.
What is going on out there?
You got to laugh at the news. You got to laugh at things that are happening, because things are happening. There's too many people on this earth, and funny shit's going to happen. Like when somebody's about to walk in a door and somebody opens it and smashes them in the fucking face. That's hilarious, unless you're the guy getting hit with the door.
Of course.
Hey, what you laughing at? Well, you just got hit by a door. I mean, what am I supposed to do, not laugh at that? You know what I mean? Watching people trip, right? Watching people trip, and then they look back, right? Of course, that's
closing
always funny.
The elevator door on somebody.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. Like, no, don't, you know. I'm pressing the open. I'm sorry. I was pressing the closed. Sorry about that. You don't like sharing space on an elevator with people?
No, not more than I like fucking with them.
Is it awkward? Like, I remember in college, in psychology class in college, we did that experiment where we got on an elevator in a building, and two of us, and sometimes three of us, would face... The opposite way. Not looking at the front, we would face the back of the elevator and then watch how many people would like follow suit and do that kind of stupid thing. We'd register it and take
and
notes. What was the thing? I don't remember. That degree helped nothing with my business.
I didn't think it would.
Well, actually, it did. You know, you think about it. What I've learned is that, you know, it's observant. People follow All right. You know, sometimes there's norms, like every day. You know, you have to have your cup of coffee in the morning. You got to get up, take your dump. Right. Right? You know, there's a certain ritual that you get used to.
Your habits.
That's right. Well, our first story, again, another person that we would consider not a very smart person. I believe the story comes from France.
Hey, oui, oui.
Right, oui, oui. By the way, speaking of wee wee and ding-a-ling, rest in peace, Chuck Berry.
Oh, man.
You know, I should add some songs for it, but my ding-a-ling, my ding-a-ling, I want to play with my ding-a-ling. That's
Chuck
his song, isn't it?
Berry.
I don't think that's one of his fan favorites. But
I don't think that was his number one hit.
But as a comic, that's the first song I think about. See, that's a test if you're a comic. If you think about Chuck Berry and you think of...
Well, I'm thinking of, like, what my dad said. Like, did you see him jump on one leg? He went far.
Yeah. Dude, that old the strut when he sticks his leg out.
Yeah.
How many people... how many silly white boys, you know, try to replicate that move, you know, just sticking there, bouncing down the stage, sticking that leg out?
It's more than 800,000.
Right.
I know that.
I wonder if
the reason why I started counting that high in the first place.
I wonder if the amount of people match, like, I think you ever think of, like, there's sometimes there's a number that matches, ironically enough, there's no correspondence to it, but they're just facts that these numbers occurred. So the amount of people that have actually done the Chuck Berry strut. You call it.
Strut kick.
Right? Right? And the amount of people that tried to put the figure four leg lock on you.
I bet those numbers are similar.
You would think, right?
They're similar.
Yeah, man, I just got one with the universe and I felt that hit me. And I'm no holy man, but I'm no prophet either, but this just
feels
hit me,
right?
This just hit me like a ping pong ball from across the room, right? You ever like somebody's playing ping pong across the room and all of a sudden you get hit with a ping pong ball and you think, how bad is this person that I just got hit by a ping pong ball?
That's funny.
You know what I mean? I shouldn't be getting fallout from the ping pong table. So, but I had this thought, right? So think about that. The amount of people that have actually tried the Chuck Berry strut.
Kick strut.
They sit, you know, sticking a leg out, are about the same amount of people that have tried the figure four leg lock on somebody else. How many people on Facebook Live have tried a figure four leg lock? You know, you'd have to have a willing, and when you get
five of them.
That's right. I think we'd cut down there. We jump one back on. I think the rules of the figure, like if you're going to try to give somebody the figure four leg lock, like let me try this figure four leg lock on you. The big advice was
you have to soften them up first.
Yeah, now you got to relax. You can't be all tense and everything. Otherwise, it's going to hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. This can go wrong.
Right. So you got to do some fake kicks to the stomach.
Right.
And then, like, if you can get to a rope, do like that knee drop that goes nowhere near them.
Oh, you're actually talking about in a wrestling match.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm talking about like if you like, you know, like my brothers just say, "Hey, man, you ever try the figure four leg lock?" And they put on you like, "Okay, but you got to, when I say, you know, give up, you got to go," and like they still hold it on you.
Well, the worst would be if they were to do that and actually go through all the moves to get you in a figure four leg lock.
Yeah,
they just put you.
I was a civilized kid.
Oh.
we used to put on the bathrobes and have boxing matches.
See, there you
in
go.
The living room. Yeah, I remember my brother knocked one of the brother out cold one time. And we're just standing there like, whoa! That's when you have fun. That's when you're having fun.
By the way, this Monday night, tonight, we are having a Texas Bull Rope Death Comedy Jam.
Really?
Yes, it's a face-off. Everybody, the two comics are tied together
by a bull
rope.
You think that's a good idea after having this big fracas melee?
Of course.
Melee?
Well, we got to keep it. We got to up. Right. We got to up what we did last week. People are like, is that going to happen again?
What's and next?
I'm like, no.
Gotcha. Well, good, man. Go out there one-on-one, a mano-a-mano
when it comes to that.
Says here, you nabbed French gendarmes. Find the thief stuck in the window.
What?
What's gendarmes? French gendarmes? I'm probably fucking that up. It's French.
I have no idea what that is.
Called to a robbery. Must be the police, the French police.
That's not that stuff you put on steak, is it?
No, that's Liam Perrin's. Oh. Called to the robbery. Called to a robbery. Found the suspect thief stuck in the hole he'd made with a hammer to get into the shop window. I gained weight. I had some of the crepes while I was inside.
Wow.
I ate some of the pastries. They were delicious.
Why would you even go back out the same way?
Yes. I forgot. I could just open the door and walk out.
I have no idea why you would go back out that little hole.
I knew there was something wrong with my plan.
Shit. At that point, hide. Wait till they open up again and then just walk out. It's just...
Yeah, the National Gendarmerie on Sunday published a photo appearing to show the man half in and half out of the hole. Drunk, he robbed a shop but got stuck in the window before being arrested.
Yeah. It's about how I feel about French people, half and half.
Yeah, a little half and half. I feel the same way about you. Don't be funny now. It's not funny. I'm stuck. The 46-year-old man was arrested Thursday morning in the Pyrenees town of Moulin-Liquier in southwest France.
Oh.
A duty officer from regional Gendarmerie told the Associated Press, firefighters were called to free the man after they got done laughing at him.
Of course.
Who was taken into custody after they had some Grey Poupon.
It was in Melon Liquor Town. Of course that happened there.
Yeah. I mean.
Moulin.
Moulin. I must have some of the Moulin.
Moulin. And Mo May really pumps my nags.
Next story.
It's Monier.
Monier. A woman almost crashed her car when a snake slithered from the vent.
Oh, shit.
Can you imagine?
I would have crashed my car.
Right? You're sitting there, and all of a sudden you see this thing come out of your air vent?
I mean, I don't know. Nope. No snakes.
Yeah, hit the cough button, by the way, Joe Adams says. I'm working on the cough button. Venice, Florida. Here in Florida. Where's Venice, by the way? That's over in the West Coast. Something more than air came slithering out of a car vent in Florida. Monica Dorsett, no relation to Tony Dorsett, says she almost crashed her car when a red rat snake crawled out of the air conditioner vent as she drove down highway in Venice.
Oh.
Red court. Yeah, that's a.
She didn't play running back, though, in high school.
No, oddly enough, she did run over 1,000 yards her senior year. Dorsett tells the news she was in traffic on March 10th when she saw the snake slither out of the vent to the left of her steering wheel. Oh, God. She cut across two lanes and stopped in a parking lot.
Oh.
She says she slammed the door with the snake in and out, half out, much like the French thief.
Exactly. These stories.
Her husband then opened the door, and the snake fell to the ground. She says he euthanized it. Venice is about 210 miles northwest of Miami.
Wait. So the cutting in half didn't kill it? He had to euthanize it still?
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's not like the snake's like, it'll go back. We don't have time for that. Yeah. That's that, you know. I have a, I don't like to eat in the car because sometimes that'll happen, like something falls, you look down like a dumbass, like that Mayhem commercial on Allstate. Hi, I'm Mayhem.
The worst, I'm a smoker, and that one time, one out of a billion times when you drop the cigarette.
Yeah, well, that's scary. I've done that before, you're like flicking ashes and it doesn't go out, it goes in the back seat and you're thinking, oh no.
Total plagiarism in automobiles.
Yeah.
It's done that. It goes out and back in.
Yeah. Here's another story. Wiping out crime. Face scanners placed in public toilet to tackle roll theft.
What?
So people have actually gone through the technology now of having face technician to see if there's somebody of the wrong gender in the bathroom.
Oh.
Are we really... Do we really care? Like, I mean, I would like to think as America... I guess it's all the time I spent in South Beach where everybody went to the same bathroom.
Right.
Yeah, like women, you know what I mean? And it was just, you know, it was the honor system. Mm-hmm. I guess we'd call it the honor system. Right?
Really, no one talked about it. Everybody just went to the bathroom.
Yeah. I'm at South Beach. You think I'm going to sit here and dick around in the bathroom? One of Beijing's busiest public toilets is fighting the scourge of toilet paper theft. Oh.
I knew that's what they were talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought that was... Should have read the story before I read it.
Jeez.
Through the use of technology, giving out loo roll only to patrons who use face scanners. That's some technology there in China, having face recognition.
Don't do it for terrorists. Do it for the people that steal toilet paper.
We don't give a shit about Homeland Security. Just stop taking all the fucking toilet paper. There's a lot of people in China, so that means a lot of ass wiping. You know what I mean? So you'd imagine that toilet paper would be a hot commodity in China.
Super black market.
Think about all the rice we eat, all the shit we take. Oh, okay, well, I ran out of toilet paper. Go get some from the fucking place.
Talk about a rice paddy.
Hey, don't just joke, huh? The automated facial recognition dispensers comes as a response to elderly residents removing large amounts of toilet paper. Those damn old people.
I can't wait till they do it on the sugar caddies. They're done. These old people thieves are going to get what they're going to get. What's
coming to them. Salt and all that sugar and stuff.
You know, just take that many creamers? Do you think we don't know what you're doing?
Yeah, like you couldn't live three lifetimes to take in that much creamer.
And what? You don't even eat sugar.
That's right.
What are you doing?
Now, those in need of paper must stand in front of a high-definition camera for 3 seconds after removing hats and glasses before a 60-centimeter ration is released.
Sometimes you don't have 60 seconds.
No, sometimes you don't. You got to take a dump. Imagine sitting there waiting for toilet paper. Show me your face. Ah, I got to take a shit. Now, those who come too often will be denied, and everyone must wait 9 minutes before they can use the machine again.
Well, that does not.
Could you imagine if it only gets you like one slither?
You can't even spare one square.
Man, toilet paper in China is scarce.
Jeez. And now I know. Now I know why they're the way they are.
China has something of an obsession with its public toilets. The government recently allocated $233 billion to fund toilet revolution, renovating as many as 100,000 public bathrooms in the hopes of boosting tourism. Yeah, like in Europe, it's you shit in a hole in some places. They don't have a toilet. You go to some place in Europe, there's a hole in the ground you got to squat over. There's no fancy,
you got leaves. We got leaves.
Yeah. You don't have a big throne. Kind of, you don't have to worry about putting stuff on it. You got a hole in the ground. Just sit over it. Right?
Just go.
Just go take a dump. Don't be such a pain in the ass. Just saying. You guys eat right in China. Why are you so worried about your asses? Why don't you use some fucking bamboo shoot?
Bok choy.
That's right.
That is not what that means.
Yeah. I love bok choy, by the way.
Water chestnuts, get those out of everything.
All right. We got a couple stories that are similar here. And this is like the lucky
more
part
shit
of the show.
Stories?
No, this is the lucky part. this is the lucky part. Can you imagine roaming around in a village in Africa? You know, you're like looking for water and like, you know, maybe some roadkill.
Nope. Never pictured that. Nope.
Sierra Leone pastor discovers 706 carat diamond in a village.
Huh.
706 carat.
His girlfriend better really cook.
Yeah. She better step it up.
Something,
she better get a handy.
That's
got to wake up to a smoke 'em slow.
I mean,
Freetown, Sierra Leone, a pastor in Sierra Leone has discovered the largest uncut diamond found in more than four decades in West African country and has turned it over to the government. What a stupid ass. Saying he hopes it helps boost recent development in his impoverished nation.
So he hasn't paid attention to the last 150 years of his government and what they've been doing.
Oh, thank you.
Are boost you population and...
Do I get the receipt? No, I remember you.
No. Here's a hat. It's hot out there.
Here's a pen and a bottle of water.
I don't get it.
The gem, a bit smaller than a hockey puck, is the second largest diamond found in Sierra Leone. In 1972, the 968.9 carat Star of Sierra Leone was found by miners and sold for about $2.5 million, and this dumbass just gave it to the government.
So what? He has something about calling himself a miner? Just pretend.
I'm majority. I don't want to be miner.
Buy one of those stupid silting things.
Mourner told the Associated Press that he turned in the diamond because he was touched by the development being undertaken in Kono District, where the gem was found. He cited road construction improvements to electricity, after 30 years of blackouts. We finally have cable.
He couldn't use $2 million African dollars?
Yeah, he didn't put that together. Okay, you know what? Everything sucks here. If I take this diamond with me, I can have a penthouse in Manhattan.
Stupid.
The president expressed appreciation that there was no attempt to smuggle the gem out of the country and encourage others to emulate the pastor's example and stop laughing at him.
Stop laughing.
He promised the diamond would be sold to the highest bidder, and whatever is due the owner and government would be distributed accordingly.
Oh, yeah.
$14 million for you, one for them.
That's yeah. Unbelievable. Accordingly? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we'll have to take out my big Bugatti.
Well, you have my finder's yacht. Fee, which is normally 10%, but in this case, it's only 1%.
Right, because of the size of it, the massive scale.
Stupid.
Yeah. Do you think they would give the, right, like if, let's say they sell the thing for $800 million. You don't think they'd give the guy like, you know, I don't know, like $1.50? You know, they give the guy like around $250.
Right.
God, it's U.S. Come on. Don't be, look, you just found the thing. You didn't fucking create it.
I bet it's so dangerous to have any size
diamond. It's not like you made the diamond. It's you found it. Okay, if you had made it, maybe I'll give you a couple hundred thousand. But the fact, you know, give me a break.
There has to be a reason.
Well, this you would think that only happens here, right? Or it happens in Africa or Lyon and these places where there's like these big, incredible volcanic situations where all these diamonds are being found. You know, that's what they cause the pressure of a volcano creates diamond. That's what they say. Teenager finds 7.4 carat diamond in Arkansas State Park.
I was just going to say, we have some in Arkansas.
Yeah, and Murfreesboro, Arkansas, a teenager has found a 7.4 carat diamond at the state park in southwestern Arkansas, and oddly enough, has given it to the government of Lyon. They said, what are we going to do with that little piece of shit?
Yeah. Bottom, it was engraved to Monica, love Bill.
Yes. What? I'm too young to get engaged, so. Officials at Crater of Diamonds State Park at Murfreesboro say the rock found Saturday by 14-year-old Khalil Langford, the seventh largest found since the park was established in 1972. The park hasn't provided an estimate of the diamond's value. We're keeping that to ourselves. The teen said in a statement Thursday that he spotted a diamond amongst rocks near a stream. He has named it Superman's Diamond, because kids do that shit,
right,
and plans to keep it as a souvenir. I bet. Park interpreter Wayman Cox describes the diamond as a pinto bean-sized and similar in color to coffee, the largest diamond ever discovered in the United States, 40.23 carat. Uncle Sam was unearthed on the land back in 1924.
Hmm.
Well, at least he kept it.
Very
fucking
nice.
American, taking advantage of everything, you know what I mean?
That is a souvenir if I ever seen one.
You know, it's a star-spangled banner. You know, I country tis of thee. Something like that.
Sweet land of diamonds by the creek.
Yeah. That kid's probably going to that park for like the last 14 years straight.
Well,
right? Well, he's only 14.
Do you skip rocks? And he's like, no.
I don't got time for skipping rocks.
And he finally, he's like, fine, I'll do it. And he picks up a diamond. No.
Did you find anything? No, I'll be right back.
Where's Jimmy?
I got to use some face recognition and take a shit. Anyway, that's all you have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. That's all I have time for.
I think so. Right?
Yeah, that's it. And
shit,
it's Monday.
Shit Stories and Diamonds.
Shit Stories and Diamonds is our close. By the way, don't forget tonight, big show over there in Pembroke. I should say over by Mardi Gras in Hallandale, Pembroke Road, and just by the train tracks in Dixie.
No holds barred, baby.
One-on-one. These shows this week, don't forget, Wise Guys Comedy Show this Wednesday night. I'll be there along with Jen Hellman's doing a guest spot. Darius Culpepper's our feature, and our headliner is Grant Lyon from L.A. is in town. Also, special guest Brian Golowacki will be doing a spot as well. Thursday through Saturday, guys, I will be at Zany's in St. Charles, Illinois. So if you're in the area or know somebody in the area, tell them to come by and tell them you heard it here on the show and came to see me. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And listen, I've just put a new plug-in, so I don't have to worry about doing on the show for that. So don't forget tomorrow, guys, Peter Leonard and Elgin David will be here. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter to Wake Up Dougie. And, of course, follow me at Dougie Dangerous and on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous.
And then you'll catch me this Thursday up in West Palm at the Frog with Nadeem Awad. We're doing a show up there at 8 o'clock. And then at Zero Comic.
There you go.
Check it out.
Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back tomorrow right here at the same spot. Take care.
Ooh.
Thank you, Facebook Live.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one, setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun, children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, a beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world. Journey of a thousand lives.